Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. Going to tell you what's going on this week in Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. It is Christmas week, but there are shows. So we'll talk about those here in just a minute with my guest, Matt Hold. He's our headliner. So we'll get to Matt, and I guess we'll just talk about his shows because those are really, those are the only shows this week. The 26th and 27th, we have two shows each night with Matt at 7:15 p.m. and 9:45 p.m. on Friday, December 26th, and Saturday, December 27th. 7 p.m. and 9:30, those are your show times on Saturday night. If you want to come see Matt, Matt has not been in our club in over 6 years. So before the pandemic was the last time we saw Matt Holt at the club. We do a lot of catching up in this interview, too. It's fun. We'll get into that a little more in a second. Just want to make a couple of quick notes. Jason Jamerson last week, great job, dude. We had him on the show. He was funny on here. He talked about a lot of those same things on stage, but it just a great act. Super friendly guy. He gets better every single time he headlines the club. So you really saw a treat if he came out for Jason this weekend. And shout out to Dustin Cole from The Pier, who I thought I had never met. And he goes, we did a one-nighter 16 years ago. I said, I had no idea, but good to get to reacquainted with Dustin. And Michael Cesaro was great, too. I you know, he was in my class years ago. And I'm not sure how many Comedy Castle appearances he's made on the weekend at this point, but he did a great job. I mean, these guys just keep getting better. You got to do shows, guys. I'm so proud of my students. Michael, I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. Hire Michael. You got a comedy show. You need somebody funny. You need somebody who's clean. I don't know if he's completely clean or mostly clean, but he's likable. He's friendly. I really love Michael, as the audience did this past weekend. And let's just segue into my advanced comedy class. Let's just do that, because Michael was a student of my advanced comedy class, and that thing is coming up on January 10th, so just a few weeks from Saturday here. We're 2 weeks out from Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to this one. I know that it is getting very tight. It is getting, we are down to, when I last checked on Saturday night at the club, there were two openings available for the next advanced comedy class. That's it, just two. And so if you want to do it, you got to do it in January. You got to call the club at 248-542-9900. That's the phone number. If you want to do it, I'm not sure what the office hours are this week. There might be some, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, the 23rd, there might be some folks in the office. If not, then Friday, the 26th is your best bet to call and sign up for that one. But also, beginner comedy classes with Bill Bouchard, those are starting up in January. Those will be on Monday nights, and I believe Saturdays are early as well. Tam White has her improv class. That'll be starting up also again in January. So a lot of great classes if you're interested in starting a career in comedy, stand-up comedy, or just want to get better, do the advanced class with me. Sign up. It's going to be cool. I'm super excited for it. I should also mention that New Year's Eve with Nate Armbruster is next Wednesday, of course, the 31st. So if you want to come see Nate Armbruster on New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve, super fun. 7:30 and 10:30 are the shows. If you go to the late show, you will get a champagne split and you'll get to ring in the new year. And Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, we play Auld Lang Syne. We count down. We do the countdown, the whole thing. Everything you want out of New Year's Eve, you'll get. And in a terrific show with Nate Armbruster. Hopefully we'll have Nate on next week. I can't guarantee that with everybody's holiday schedule, but we're going to try for it. But let's get into this Matt Holt interview. Matt has moved around. I knew Matt best when he was a Michigan comic, but he's moved around. He'll tell us where he's been and where he's at now and what brings him back to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle all this time, what he misses about Michigan, and what you can bring him as a gift this weekend. There you go. There's a little tease for what's going on here. He'll tell you about his time on the Bob and Tom show and how that helped his career, because he did. He was coming out of Indianapolis. That's where he started his career. He'll tell us about that. We talk about our love of Bruce Springsteen. And Matt has seen more shows than me. I found that out I was very disappointed in that. No, that's great. I was late on going to Bruce. I've loved Bruce for 35 years, but only started going more than that, 45 years probably now. I don't even know. And he tells a story about Big B Coffee that killed me. His story about, he's got a couple of really funny anecdotes in here. I don't know if these show up on stage. I don't know. But he was briefly in the pocket of Big Coffee, or medium coffee, I guess, and as it goes with Big B Coffee. You'll hear about that and what happens when the private show goes wrong, the work function. Matt's got a great story about that, too. Matt's just a great guy. You can hang out with Matt. You can talk to him all night. I'm planning on doing that this weekend while he's there. But when he's on stage, it's the same thing. He's fun to hang out with. He's fun to listen to. You're really going to have a great time with Matt. Bring the family out. I don't know if it's squeaky clean, but you'll have a good time. Grandma's heard dick jokes. Come on. She's a grandma, for God's sakes. I don't know. Matt Holt, let's throw it to him, and I'll be back after to talk to you a little bit more. Here's Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to speak to him again. It's been 6 years since he was at the club. Matt Holt, our weekend headliner. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Joel. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing good. Yeah, we were just talking a little bit before the show started that it's been 6 years since you've been at the club.
6 years. Yeah. I think the time has come.
Yes.
And pre-pandemic. Ready to come back.
Pre-pandemic, you were here.
Yes. Pre-pandemic. Yep. Pre-pandemic. And there were a couple opportunities after that unfortunately didn't work out. So yeah. I'm ready to be back.
Well, it's good.
The statute of limitations has expired and I can return to Royal Oak.
Cleared up those cases in Michigan.
Absolutely.
And you're back. Now, you were on the Michigan. You were a Michigan comic for a while.
I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, I saw you. I feel like I saw you all the time when you were a Michigan comic.
You know, it was funny because I probably did more work within the state lines than I did outside for that period of time. It was awesome.
That's how a lot of people do it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Michigan, it's a good place to be a comic. A lot of people don't get that. Yeah.
Good place to be drinking beer, too.
I'm not doing much of that these days, but
I do far less.
Do you? Well,
yeah, far less. Yeah. You know, I lived in Kentucky for about 4 years, and I lived I lived 1 mile from Buffalo Trace Distillery.
Okay.
And so I really got into bourbon because in that town, when they were producing bourbon, the entire town smelled like bourbon.
Yeah.
Like, like you'd walk outside and you'd smell bourbon.
Yeah.
And then like if you walked back into my apartment, it smelled like bourbon there. So it was awesome. I just had continuity.
I'm going to try to just relate on some level, but it's a holiday. And I know when I get up and walk my dogs about 9, 10 a.m., I can smell the honey-baked ham making their hams.
Well, that's not a bad
How's
thing.
How's that?
Either.
Smells like that's baked beans.
That sounds like you want a dog. That's awesome.
I think the dogs like it. No wonder the dogs are like, let's walk, Daddy. I'm like, really? Do you just like the smell of the hams? Is that what this is all about?
Hey, there are worse things.
Well, it is a holiday week, man. Christmas time, and you'll be here a couple days after. People should be, they should be sick of their families by then. They're going to want to get out of the house.
Man, I certainly hope so. That'd be awesome. If people can have the same disdain for their family that I have for mine, we should have a packed house for four shows.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting 5 days of Christmas tomorrow.
Okay.
Actually, I did Christmas yesterday, and then tomorrow night is me and the wife. We do a Christmas date.
Okay. Well, now what's that? What's that entail?
For us, it is a Italian dinner in Rochester, Michigan, which you may know and probably our listeners know. All the Christmas lights. One of the most lit up towns.
Oh, is that
Christmas.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, just wall to wall, the buildings. It's like it's just all lights. It's kind of amazing. So we got dinner there, and then we're heading over to a place called the Meadowbrook Hall on the campus of Oakland University, and there's an old mansion that is decorated in more Christmas lights.
Okay.
So we're going to go do that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Now, so and now you've let everyone that listens to this know your whereabouts, so.
come get me.
Clearly you're not afraid of the paparazzi like you used to be.
Oh, yeah. If you want to rumble, meet me in the the streets of downtown Rochester tomorrow night. Meet you with a coffee on the corner. We'll sing carols together and duke it out.
I hope that happens.
It is. No, I think I'm going to be perfectly safe, but you know, it's one of those things. But you, so you get to, you're going to be traveling to Michigan, I would assume, the day after.
Yes.
Flying, driving. What are you doing?
Driving.
Driving from South Carolina.
Yes, probably. I'll be coming up through through Indiana visiting family for the holiday.
I got you. Okay, so you're
going to so not far.
You've knocked off most of that ride at that point.
Yeah, that drive I can do with my eyes closed.
And you have. as a road topic, we've all done it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't need a room. I'll be fine. And then it's like,
I'll tell you what, Joel, that's something that's changed over the years because I used to be that guy.
Yep.
I'm going from Indy, because I lived in Indianapolis at the time, to Myrtle Beach. That's 12 hours. I'll leave that morning. I'll show up just as they're calling my name.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I probably got 10 years ago. I was like, maybe I'll cut that in half and get a hotel.
Yeah.
Be a human
for
a change.
I left my house once at 2 a.m. to make a gig in Charleston, South Carolina the next night.
Oh.
Which, you know, that's okay. That's doable. And you go, okay, 2 a.m. I didn't really get much sleep. That's true. But put the car in a ditch at 8 a.m. in Knoxville.
Oh, so there you go. Is that right?
Yeah, ditched at 8 a.m. I was turning around in a driveway. I had a rear wheel drive. This is the worst road comic car. A rear wheel drive Thunderbird.
Okay.
Once those rear tires hit the ditch, it was over.
Oh, that's terrible.
Sucked me right in.
That's terrible.
But I still made the gig. I made the gig.
Let's see. There it is.
Made the gig. I didn't get towed out, but I made the gig. You got to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what are we talking about this time? What's in the act now? It's been a while since I've seen you. What are we talking about on stage, man? Come on.
It's really just about what an idiot I am. You know, because I spent so much time. So much time trying to write jokes, right? Yeah. I wrote an act, and then you know what? I started doing cruises.
Yeah.
And on the cruises, I was told, "Hey, don't talk to the crowd. Do not, you know, don't do crowd work." And look, I'm not a crowd work guy, but I'm an interactive guy.
Yeah. Right.
So I was so hyper focused on having material and jokes. Mm. So I built this act for that at that time, and then. In my entire career doing stand-up, I've never been so afraid of forgetting material as what I did when I was doing those cruises. Mm. So once I went through that, I decided I'm not doing that again. So I'm just going to talk about my life and be more in the moment with it. So that's kind of that was a big change, you know? Mm, so then now, so that's it. I'm really talking about who I am, what I do and where I've been.
That's great.
So it's, you know, hopefully it changes a little bit from night to night. And it's always fun because Ridley's is one of those places that just does it right. You know, so I'm excited to be back there and in front of what's always a warm crowd.
Yeah. Well, always a warm crowd. And hopefully they're, you know, like I said, people are going to be done with what they're doing, get themselves out there to the Comedy Castle, have some fun with Matt. And again, 6 years. I mean, come on. I talked to some of these comics. You know, I do this show. This is a lovely gig, by the way, the Comedy Castle podcast. I talk to guys I just talked to. I was just talking to you last night, and here we are on the, you know. So it's fun to talk to somebody I haven't, you know. And when it's somebody you've never met, that makes you nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and even like when you reached out to set this up, I was like, man, I haven't talked, you know,
exactly.
You do that,
I know.
You do that timeline because when you're working the club, it's like we have a chance to interact all the time, like you said, and we were seeing each other all the time. Yeah. So it's kind of cool, man, because it's like old home, you know, you're like a homecoming. It's awesome.
Yeah. I looked up your number and there was a Facebook message thread that we had that you know, that's where I looked up. And I don't even know what year this, I don't even know if you can tell from the Facebook message what years this was. We were going to hook up because we were traveling separately to a Springsteen concert.
Absolutely.
And it might have been the Detroit one. I can't remember. Because I go to so many, they get confused.
Same.
In my mind.
No, same.
I think it might have been the Detroit one, and it was, or it might have been the Cleveland one. It could have been that one. Because I remember the 16, if it was the 16, but that seems so long ago. Though,
that was 16. A river tour.
Yeah. Could that have been it? God damn, it's almost 10 years.
I'd have been in the area at the time.
And then and it was just like, hey, meet me here. Here's my number and we'll call.
That's right.
And I don't think we ever got together.
But. I don't think we did. And you know, and I know I went to the show.
Yeah.
Your number is higher than mine. Your Bruce number is higher than mine.
Yeah, I'm 17 or something. So I'm not.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm crazy.
I'm 40.
Okay. Oh, you're 40? Oh, then you're. But I only started in 12.
Okay.
Show I saw was in 12. So I'm doing pretty good for starting in 12.
I'll tell you a story. When I started dating my girlfriend, she was born and raised in New Jersey.
Oh, there you go.
And you know, she's a fan. Mm-hmm. So one year, we got tickets to this festival in Asbury Park. Yeah. And it's called See Here Now.
Yeah, that was last summer. Yeah, I know about that.
One. Yeah. So 3 years ago, we started going. Mm-hmm. So three years ago, we saw Smashing Pumpkins and I can't remember the other band.
Yeah.
But another band, they were the headlining bands, and we saw these others. It was great. And then we thought, man, how cool would it be? we'll go to these after parties at the Stone Pony and the Wonder Bar, and maybe Bruce will show up. So we go and he doesn't, you know, Run DMC showed up, which was cool. And then the next year we get tickets again. Now the next year we're living in Jersey.
Yeah.
So we go. And it's, you know, like Stevie Nicks is the headliner and someone else. And it was fun. So the one year that we don't get tickets is the year that Bruce is headlining. And he's all over Asbury Park that weekend. He's doing all these one-up pop-up shows. He's getting on stage with other bands. And then as a fanatic know, he then puts on the set list of a lifetime.
So he said it was one of the best shows he ever did. He's saying that, not just the fans, but yeah.
And we are just trying to reconcile that in our brain. The one year we don't go, is the year that we were shooting for the entire time.
Right,
so you know, but I do remember us trying to hook up for that.
Yeah, we were trying to hook up, but I don't know why we didn't. But hey, when you're traveling you never know with those, especially because I'm on the floor a lot of times, and I don't know if I'm going in early.
Right.
When they do the number. Actually, they don't even really do the number anymore. But when they did that, and if they drew, you got a random number for the audience that didn't understand this.
And if they
chose your number, if you had a floor ticket, you could be number one randomly without having to get there real early. And then they put you right on, you know, you'd have your elbows on the stage.
Right.
Essentially. And, you know, so there'd be times maybe where I got a low number. I can't remember which show was which, but I had that pretty close a couple times.
Yeah.
Never got one. I think I was like 15 once. I saw three or four from real up close.
Yeah. I saw St. Louis. I saw the big show in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Whatever year. I think it was the Magic Tour.
Sure. Yeah. That's a famous one. 18.
And was right up against the stage right in front of Clarence and Nils.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
The entire night.
You do
it
that.
It was awesome.
You do that at Bruce. Sometimes you watch from Steve's side. Sometimes you watch from the Nils side. Sometimes, like I've done, you sit behind the band, you sit up by Roy, watch him play piano. That's a good time.
I've done that. Yeah.
Lots of ways to watch Bruce.
Luckily, got to see him twice in Jersey and twice in Philly.
Yeah.
So
never seen Bruce in Jersey. Went to New York a few times.
Okay.
Saw a few New York. Saw the Broadway show live. That was incredible.
Ah, man, I'm jealous.
Something. Yeah, the Broadway show was great. Amazing.
So jealous. Yeah. I was in New York City doing a program, and the show was going, and I went to look for tickets, and the tickets were just more than I was willing to spend.
Oh, I spent.
And I was like, I just want to, but I can't. I just can't do it.
I think,
and I regret it.
It was 17, I think, when he kicked that off. I went in December of 17.
Right.
Yeah. And I think I'm still paying for those tickets.
That sounds right.
Worth it though, man. Worth it.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. All right. So tell me about your comedy career for people that don't know you. I think it's the first time on this show. Where'd you start? So, where'd you get going at? What made you known? What put you on the map?
Man, well, let's see. Prior to tonight, I would have said this show. I started in 99.
Okay.
I started off in Indianapolis, and you know, I was something I always wanted to do. And, you know, like a lot of us, I hit the open mic for the first time and, you know, did well enough to show my face again. And then, you know, just became persistent and kept going back and doing it and kind of working on it, trying to figure it out, and failed a lot. And, you know, then you get enough where you start picking up dates where people don't know you, which is scary. Yeah. And, you know, and it just builds from there. So I did that. And then just started hitting the road. Yeah. And you did
Bob
better.
And Tom as well, coming out of Indy. Yeah, that's a big thing for comics.
Did a lot of Bob and Tom.
That's great.
Probably just, you know, the 3 or 4 years pre-pandemic, was doing a lot of, I was a regular guest host and a pretty regular visitor. So that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
It put me in front of a lot of people. And that was, you know, that was really good. And then, I got involved with a comedy record label for a few years, and then launched a podcast network for, you know, that ran for a couple years. In fact, I produced and created a podcast with someone who's coming up on the calendar as well. I produced Stuart Huff's podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And we had a lot of, we did that for 4 seasons, had a lot of success with that, had a good time doing it. So, you know, it's one of those cool things. Comedy drops you in front of so many different people.
Yeah.
And you, it's weird because it kind of takes a conversation like this where you look back and go, oh my God, yeah, I forgot that happened. I'll tell you a Michigan story.
Okay.
I was doing a show in Ann Arbor, right? And I was doing a joke at the time, and it was about, it mentioned Starbucks, right?
Okay.
I'm doing the show with our buddy Sal D'Amelio. Mm-hmm, so we're working together. And after the show, this guy comes up to me and he goes, I'll tell you what, that joke where you mentioned Starbucks, if you change Starbucks to Big B Coffee, I'll give you like $200 every show you do. And I go, what? And he repeated it. And I go, look, man, he goes, you know, every show you do in Michigan, I'll give you $200. And I go, well, I do a lot of shows in Michigan. He goes, I hope you do. And I'm like, are you messing with me? And his wife goes, he's not messing with you. And I go, so then I become the pragmatic comic. I'm like, well, how would I get the money? Like, how would you know? Yeah, he goes, I'll PayPal you or Venmo you or whatever. I go, how would you know that I did the joke? And he goes, I'll just trust you.
Wow. And
I'm like, okay. So then I go home, go back to the hotel from the gig, and I'm thinking about this. And I tell Sal, and Sal's like, do it. You know, Sal. So I send the guy a text. I go, just to make sure, I have 4 remaining shows this week.
Yeah.
And he goes, he texts back, yeah, that's $800. I'm like, okay. And then next week I'm in Port Huron, and that's 3 shows, $600. Okay. So I did it. I went and changed it. Just, look, I can be bought.
Right. Some of those gigs, you probably doubled your money.
Or more. You know, some of the one-nighters
that
are floating around the thumb.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly that's the Irish pub.
Yeah.
Over in the Port Huron side.
Sure, yeah, suddenly I remember that place. They still, they might have stopped doing shows. They did shows until fairly recently, I think.
Yeah. See, I mean, I was making that one make sense financially.
Now, how does this Big B Coffee plugging end? Does it end?
I did the show. I did those for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And consistently, they made good on the promise. They were very good to me. They hired me to come in and do, let me tell you how it ends, and I'll go back to the story. So I do it from, let's say that was October through, I want to say April.
Wow.
So pretty good run.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. 6 months.
I mean, forget about it. Yeah.
6 months. And then finally they reached out and said, hey, look, we really love what you're doing, but this is kind of coming out of our personal budget. And I was like, hey, no worries. And they were like apologetic to me, like, sorry, we got something. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Thousands of dollars we gave you.
It's like I'm playing with house money here.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you know, every once in a while I'd poke around at send a message going, hey, you kind of want to do that, you know, because, you know, we can't leave anything alone as comics.
Yeah.
But so one of the perks of it was, because I said to the guy, I go, hey, instead of doing that, why don't you just let me do your company party? Because, well, we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. So he hires me to come in and do their company holiday party. So I get there and he goes, I want to do something a little different. He goes, I want you to go up. I'm going to introduce you as a new, as one of the new higher ups within the company. One of the new VPs. He goes, and I want, he goes, and I want you to scare these people. He goes, and then after about 15 minutes, then go ahead and do, you know, do like 10 minutes of stand up. And I go, this is not going to go well. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And he goes, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So he gets up and he introduces me as the new VP of direction or whatever it was. I forget the title. And I have a corporate background, so I can play this. Yeah, you know,
you know, so the guy you're being asked to play.
Yes. So I get up. Yeah. I'm immediately over the top and I'm saying things like, what we're going to start doing is we're starting a new program that I call Roundup. I said, let's say that a customer comes in and their coffee is $5.61. Well, we're going to charge them $6. And then that money will go aside. And this woman gets very bristled in the crowd. And I was like, ma'am, what is your name? And she says her name. I said, what department are you in? And she goes, I'm in accounting. Oh. And I was like, well, I'm going to ask you to just go along. All right. Because so I say that. And then I said something about we were going to give people a discount. It was a hipster discount if we had a customer that was wearing a fedora or had a chain wallet that would talk to us about their vinyl collection while we were making their coffee. So I'm doing all these different things and they are very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like they're not, they don't think it's a joke. And then finally I have to go, oh, by the way, no, that's not real. My name is Matt. I'm a comic. And then I try to do 10 minutes of making these people laugh after they've gone through severe
after
shock.
After they hate your guts, now you got to make them laugh.
And I go over to him. He goes, that was great. I go, no, no one was laughing. He goes, yeah, because it worked. He goes, it worked perfectly. Like you did that perfectly. He goes, it was amazing. Oh. And, you know, look, you've been in this a long time. Yeah. You've done those private events.
Sure.
And they don't go well.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know,
it's one person's idea that goes, this would be really fun. And nobody else thinks it's fun.
No,
not one person.
No, yeah. I did a party one time. It was for an electric company and they were I did a radio show. I had a radio show at the time and it was the parent company of the radio station.
Okay, yeah.
So they come on and do this party. So me and another comic, Jeff Bodart.
Yeah, I know
we go to the show. Yeah, we were co-hosts of this radio show. And they had an award ceremony before we got there. They invited us to the dinner and the performance, but not anything before. So there's already this event that had taken place that we weren't privy to. And, well, you know, Jeff goes up and does his set. He brings me up. And it's not going well. Like, the people are not into it at all. And I look over, and there's a group sitting at a table. And there's a piece of cardboard in front of the table, leaning on the floor. And it looked like you've seen the movie Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
Like when he got those checks, when he would win the golf tournament, those big checks.
Yeah.
It was about that size.
Okay.
Right? And it said something like Jim Thompson, lineman, blah, 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 energy company.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm in the weeds. I'm dying. I'm not getting laughs. And I'm just trying to reach for anything. And I look over and I see that card, that sign. And I go, well, look, I'm not trying to tell you guys how to run your company, but one of the reasons why you're probably struggling financially is you're wasting a lot of money on office supplies. I said, that business card is ridiculous. It's just, and I'm like, hey, look, it's enormous and no one's laughing. And I go, I mean, it's just, look, it's none of my business, but this is crazy. And then I go over and I pick it up and I'm holding it up, shaking. I mean, we can agree this is too much, right? I'm shaking it. I'm getting the cut sign from someone in the front.
Throat slash.
So I end the bit and then I got like 10 minutes to go. I close very mediocrely. I walk off stage. The bartender is sitting there, has a drink waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I go, man, that was rough. And this guy walks up and goes, man, you guys were great. I mean, did you watch that? There was nothing great about what just happened. He goes, no, that was awesome. He goes, what you guys didn't know is there was an award ceremony before you guys went up. And Jim, he got electrocuted this year and died on the job. And the company created a scholarship in his memory and presented it to his family. And that was the placard for it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not even paying me. They're not going to let me out of here. I'm going to lose the radio show, all this stuff. And, you know, you think you walk out of that, Joel, and you're like, you know what? I'm not doing that again. No, and you're like, well, how much is it? Oh, yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
Poor Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. Rest his soul.
Electrocuted and then insulted at the company party.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Unknowingly, but.
Unknowingly.
You didn't know.
But yeah. Poor those are fun times.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hey, listen, I think one of the things, because you talk about the corporate show, because that's the money show. But whenever you get the club weekend, that's the fun week. That's the thing you really look forward to doing.
Absolutely.
Because you know it's going to be fun. You know it's going to be people there to see comedy.
It's energy.
People there to have a good time.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's when you go to a place that's run right. You know, that's the thing. And I always tell people, look, it really matters.
Yeah.
You go to a place that does it well. And quite honestly, Ridley's is one of the best in the country. And that's not exaggeration. It's real.
Yeah. You got to go around the country to figure that out. A lot of people, most people never would, you know, they go, this is our comedy club and we come here and it's nice.
Right.
We like it and we come back and then they don't realize, oh, you go to this place. Or people tell us when they come in, though, sometimes.
It's weird because I think if an audience knew, if when you go to a club like the Castle and you're sitting there, you're watching the show, if you realize that the comic that's on that stage is one of 500 who want to be on that stage.
Yeah, yeah.
That can't get there. They're good enough to.
Yeah,
they're great.
Right, sure, yeah.
They can't break, through.
Yeah.
And it really is one of those things. It's a cool thing because you're like, wow, I'm lucky. I get to be here. This is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm real excited.
Well, we're excited to have you back, man. And then four shows this weekend. Got that late show Friday. We need some people to come out to that one. So let's.
we'll make that. Let's
get
fun
on
one.
That. Well, you know, people, you know, the late show Friday, they just like, I don't know. I don't know who comes up for that. Somebody brought their holiday party to the Late Show Friday.
Okay.
Which they were really checked out.
Yeah, that happens.
They were checked out. It was, I think it was a dentist's office. So
now they're all on the Novocaine.
23 dental hygienists. You know, surly at, you know, 9:30 p.m. on a Friday. Been scraping teeth all week, and then you got to go to the Late Show Friday at the club.
Yeah.
So come out on the Late Show Friday.
Yeah, I got no material about plaque. So.
Well, get some Lions jokes. Those will kill.
I'm pulling for them. My Colts are falling apart down the stretch.
The Colts were the best. Both the Lions for several weeks early in the season, and the Colts at one point were both considered the best teams in football this year. Am I correct about that? Yeah.
That you are correct.
And the Colts are struggling to make the playoffs?
Yes. We signed a 46-year-old quarterback out of 5 years of retirement. So it was we signed Phillip Rivers, and the only reason we signed Phillip Rivers is because they were under the impression, and I believe they're correct, that Bob Barker is in fact dead. That's the only thing that kept that brought Phillip Rivers into play.
Joe Namath wasn't available.
Yeah, exactly. So, I will say, last season, my hope, I really wanted to see the Lions and the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what I was
hoping
for.
Would have been great. And this season, you know, there's still a shot as we record this, but it's kind of a long shot. But we'll be there. We'll be there. We'll play all the downs. That's the thing about the Lions. They played all They played all the downs this past week. It didn't go their way, but they were playing.
Well, I'm excited to get back. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun to see you, man. We'll get to do some more catching up over this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, everyone listen, please come out to the shows. Yes. We're going to have a blast.
I'm
really looking forward to seeing the old haunt. I can't wait.
It's great. It's great to have you out and enjoy some Michigan. Enjoy some, head out to Rochester if you want to see some lights while you're here. If you've never done that, I recommend that.
Yeah, if anyone's out there listening, come out, bring me craft beer.
Craft beer.
Yeah, bring it from any place in Michigan. Bring it. Rochester Mills, I'll tell you right now.
Rochester Mills, okay, yeah.
I'll tell you right now, those of you listening, Rochester Mills, every year in the winter, they put out the 12 Days of Milkshake Stout. And I'm telling you, it was a search. It was like a scavenger hunt to find these rare.
You can't because they have a brewery you can go to.
Yeah, you can get it there.
Oh, you can get it there.
You can get it there, but then the hunt was finding it out in the retail world. it was always great. It was always awesome. So anyone out there listening, you want to hook me up with a Christmas gift, please see me after the show. And I will be accepting craft beer from the state of Michigan.
Craft beer for tips will work for craft beer. We'll drink craft beer.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a plan, man. Hey, listen, happy holidays to you, Matt.
Same to you, Joel.
And it
same
was a real fun talking to you again, man. I laughed my ass off. You had great stories.
I appreciate that.
And listen, I'll let people in. I go, Matt, you got any good stories? Or, I don't know. And listen, he's sitting on all these.
Well, plus I know Joel is a hard nut to crack. So,
well, he'll have many more great stories for us this weekend, Matt. Hey, thanks for talking, bud. We'll see you this weekend, bud.
Can't wait to see you, Joel. All everyone, right, come out and let's have some fun.
All right, bud. Take care, Matt. Later.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much. That was a great talk, man. You heard me laughing. That was not phony. That was not me blowing smoke up his ass. He has some great stories. Matt's had a fun life, man. And he's a great comic. It's great to have him back on stage after 6 years. As you heard, the pandemic got in the way. He had some physical ailments that prevented him from making his bookings. But darn it, he's coming this weekend. So come see Matt Holt. You hear about my Christmas plans. Yeah, meet me in Rochester. That'll be fun. Looking forward to that one, and everyone have a great holiday. I want to just a special shout out. Happy Hanukkah, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy New Year if there's no show next week. But I'm going to try to get Nate on the line here next week because he's one of my faves too. And very happy, very pleased. Spend it with your family. Enjoy that. Come see some comedy the night after or the weekend after with Matt Holt. And we'd love to see you at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. From everybody at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, happy holidays to you. We'll catch you next week. All right, bye-bye.